The Senate Committee on Veterans and Emergency Preparedness will come to order. Madam Vice Chair, how are you today?
I'm fine. I would like to share a thought that I liked. It's called The Noble and the Brave. It's a tribute to our veterans. And, you know, I think I don't like saving these just for Veterans Day. I like to share them now. And I don't know who the author is, so I'm sorry, and hopefully I'm not going to get in trouble for reading this, but when America had an urgent need, these brave ones raised a hand. No hesitation held them back. They were proud to take a stand. They left their friends and family. They gave up normal life to serve their country and their God. They plowed into the strife. They fought for freedom and for peace on strange and foreign shores. Some lost new friends. Some lost their lives in long and brutal wars. Other veterans answered a call to support the ones who fought. Their country had requirements for the essential skills they brought. We salute every one of them, the noble and the brave, the ones still with us here today, and those who rest in a grave. So here's to our country's heroes. They're a cut above the rest. Let's give the honor that is due to our country's very best. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And we definitely honor our veterans on a daily basis, and we thank the good anonymous author of that poem. Colleagues, we actually have a very simple day today. I'm hoping, if Mr. Sparks Quops is here, we have two agency hearings. Today is the Veterans Administration Day. We have SB 79 and SB 81, which we'll be having public hearings today on. And with that, we're going to open up a public hearing on SB 79. And if whomever will start down here in council, if you would, please.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 79 makes explicit that the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs may file an affidavit of its exempt status in lieu of documentation showing compliance with foreclosure mediation requirements. The members of this committee are familiar with ODVA's home loan program and that they are exempt from foreclosure mediation that's applicable to traditional lenders because they have a higher standard. So this permits them to file an affidavit to that effect in foreclosure proceedings.
Thank you, Chair Boquist, Vice Chair Monis Anderson, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Laurie Skillman. I'm the policy advisor for the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs. I'm here in support of Senate Bill 79. It is an Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs bill. And as counsel explained, this bill provides us with a technical fix to a bill that was passed last year. That was Senate Bill 251. And Senate Bill 251 exempted the department from the residential foreclosure mediation procedures because the department has much higher standards for what it is that they're required to do with their borrowers to keep them in the home. One aspect of that was called to our attention by our Attorney General, who in fact drafted the language for this technical fix. Basically, if you're doing a non-judicial foreclosure, you must go in and file one of two documents in the county records that says that you went through the mediation program. Since we're exempt from the mediation program, the fix is to file an affidavit in the county of records when you do your judicial foreclosure that states that ODVA is filing this document and we are exempt from these procedures. So that fixes it in two different places in the statute. It's just a very technical little fix, but the way the statute's written right now, it makes it impossible for us to comply.
Anybody share questions? Attorney Courtney, question. And are we solvent?
How do we solve it?
No, is the program solvent?
Oh, yes. Yes, sir. It certainly is.
Okay. Appreciate your testimony. Go ahead.
Is there opposition? I mean, is there concern about this? Is there?
I believe what it is you can't actually you can't actually do it because nobody has the signature authority to file what we told them to go do. I think that's the answer.
That's
to the
correct.
Question.
Okay. That's correct. Right. But we did want to provide notice to title companies and if we have this affidavit in there, then they understand who is in the chain of title and how that happened and that the compliance was met.
No fiscal impact?
No. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it very much. With that, we're going to pose the public hearing on SB 79. Unless you say otherwise, Madam Vice Chair, we'll roll it forward and vote on it next week. And we're opening a public hearing on SB 81.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 81 requires the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs to assist veterans with obtaining health care, including mental health care, via federal, state, and or local health care systems.
Don't we already do this?
Yeah.
Or let me guess, we've been doing this for 45 years and no one ever noticed when we're supposed to do it. It's the military after all.
It is. Good afternoon. For the record, Senator Boquist, Vice Chair Monis Anderson. My name is Mitch Sparks, and I'm the Director of Statewide Veterans Services for the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs. Oregon veterans face significant challenges and barriers to access federal VA health care. This has been very evident throughout the through press and other articles and issues nationwide. Veterans face a number of obstacles. Working within the complexity of the federal VA's health and mental health care systems. As advocates, our County Veterans Service Officer Network does provide some advocacy to veterans who are facing those obstacles and barriers. They've been primarily focused on providing advocacy for federal and state benefits in regard to claims and other referrals to state and local resources. Currently, there's a need for statewide expertise and support for veterans who need to access the federal VA system. Our vision is that we have the same state-level advocacy that we have for the Veterans Benefit Administration. We're co-located with them at the federal VA, and a healthcare navigator program would allow us to have that same level of advocacy for the healthcare system, and just like we do with the VBA. It's been very successful. We have an ability to access the leadership within the Veterans Benefits Administration. However, we find that it's a lot more complex within the healthcare side of the VA. The VA's healthcare system in Oregon has four large healthcare facilities, 19 different clinics, and four vet centers based in catchment areas. Two of the four hospitals that veterans seek treatment for are based out of state, and those are Boise and Walla Walla. So each hospital owns a catchment area within Oregon, and then they control the clinics within those catchment areas. For example, the Portland catchment area provides services to Hood River, down over to Bend, and then it crosses over into Salem and up. So that would be the Portland catchment area. And so each one of those VA hospitals are in charge of those areas and those clinics. So the director of the hospital would be the point of contact who has the authority, administrative authority, over those areas. With four catchment areas in Oregon, that means that to be effective in the role of advocacy, we have to have contacts and be able to have the ability to advocate for veterans within four different VA healthcare systems for Oregon veterans. For veterans, the basic veteran who attempts to access the system, they are very much at a disadvantage without having some sort of advocacy role or people that could help them through to access the system, and especially in removing barriers to care. In 2015, the VA healthcare system expended $1.1 billion into Oregon, and there's about 100,000 unique patients within the state of Oregon, veteran patients in the state of Oregon. When a healthcare navigator would be able to work within each facility and help bring down those barriers and that access to care. The Texas Veterans Commission has a similar program where they have healthcare navigators co-located at their major medical centers, and it's been very successful in that partnership between the state and the VA, and then the advocates that work the county and for us would be the county veteran service officers. So this that system is been we have some models to look at and see that it is a very it has a lot of good things that go with it. When we look at what are the issues that we're seeing for veterans trying to access healthcare system, it's usually the more specialty areas of trying to access the care. We're looking at helping them with navigating the Choice Act, which is a very complex system of obtaining healthcare outside the VA healthcare system. And we feel that the healthcare navigator could be that link between the VA, the private providers, and sometimes that links to other agencies like TRICARE, which is the intermediary, like a CCO for the VA. And it would be very beneficial to have somebody to be that intermediary and help with those issues, and especially in the world of billing issues that veterans sometimes face with it. Women's health, in our women's health study, that was one of the top recommendations, was that there would be a healthcare navigator person to help understand all the complexities within the VA healthcare system. They would also work very closely with the social workers and social work office within each VA facility. For our aging veterans, they could be very beneficial in the VA's long-term care offices that are independent with each different VA facility. Home health care for our elderly veterans, it comes from that long-term care office. So these are areas that a lot of veterans don't know about, and it would benefit greatly to have some state-level expertise in that area. For mental health care, this is probably one of our biggest areas that we help advocate throughout the state, is veterans accessing mental health care. And the complexities of that with inpatient treatment and different locations like vet centers, and then within clinics and hospitals, and specific mental health treatments such as military sexual trauma treatment, which is a very specialized portion of it. And a really important area that needs state-level advocacy is homeless services, which are based primarily out of VA hospitals through the HUD-VASH program. HUD-VASH program, the vouchers come, and then it's the assisted part of that comes from the VA healthcare, and having the advocacy to support that would be very beneficial to everybody in the state of Oregon, to notify where are those vouchers at, how many are there, and what are exactly the services in Union County for veterans, homeless veterans. Because that would have to come through the Walla Walla Hospital, which that's their catchment area. And lastly, it would be a very important link to state healthcare programs, is that how does the federal VA and state compare and link together, or having bringing a lens to OHA and with their Medicaid, Medicare programs and with the ADRCs, is to help advocate for veterans and using the VA healthcare system. We feel that there is a lot of work to be done in all those areas. That's the end of my testimony. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Do we do a we did a healthcare navigator pilot project, didn't we?
I am not familiar with that.
Okay.
I'll find out.
And so help me clear up, and a lot of what you just explained we're already doing at ODVA. So, and I'm looking at the bill at the bottom of the page here, and it only has one section with a bunch of whereases. Is this an expansion of authority of the ODVA? Do these positions exist now? I mean, help me out why we need SB 81.
This lays the framework to for our agency to bring focus to the issues. We do not have a designated position yet as a healthcare navigator, mm-hmm. But this bill would for us, we look at it as laying the framework and just the bringing to high-level attention of the need of a particular advocacy like this.
Madam Vice, you have a question?
Yeah, I'm confused because I thought we were already doing stuff like this, but...
We are doing, and throughout the state, that there's advocacy work being done throughout the state for veterans who are having, you know, barrier and access issues to VA healthcare, but not an expert level, state level advocacy that we think should happen with the federal VA. Like I said, we want to kind of duplicate what we've done with the Veterans Benefits Administration and have a particular position. I mean, we're not calling for a particular position in the bill, but that bring to light that there are a lot of barriers to care and access for veterans, and this would allow us to lay that framework for those positions.
Just following up. Because I thought, you know, when I'm talking with VSOs in the community, et cetera, I thought they were trying to help do this. And when I refer, I have a number of constituents, man, I send all my emails to Lori, and she's able to assist because she knows exactly where to send the bill or the email to get services for this person. So I'm still confused. So you're saying that you don't have someone at ODBA that knows what the VSOs are doing, or
no, Madam Vice Chair? This we look at this as a to make the especially make the county veteran service officers more. It'd be a multiplier for them to have somebody that they could also go to bring up high level, you know, in some cases very high level issues within, and here's a good you know, a good example of that is that the Bend VA healthcare clinic they have a shortage of healthcare providers, and they ask us to, you know, we heard about this, and we ask us to look at this. And what we did is we went back to the leadership at Portland VA Hospital to bring those issues and try to work with to get them to work a solution to say, what we'll do is we can't get anybody to work there right now because no one is willing to take a job at for the VA there. Is that we'll work out a program where we'll send some providers to Bend on a regular basis to see veterans instead of veterans having to transport themselves to Portland to receive the care. So there's a lot of issues that would only come to the CVSO if the veteran who was having those issues, you know, knew that the CVSO could handle those, or in your case, write a you know, email to a legislator to spark a higher mm-hmm. level of mm-hmm. Knowledge of what the issues are.
So you're saying that a follow-up, a physician, you're right. We hear these stories where we're paying people to either fly them or drive them to Portland, to the Portland VA, And I've always thought, why can't we contract with people there? You're not really saying that. You're saying you're going to take VA physicians and then maybe have them go to these various places?
Madam Vice Chair, that was just an example.
Okay.
that we trying to work out, help to, you know, bring to light the issues at a high level with the federal VA and help and see how basically is trying to solve those issues for those areas, in this case for the Bend Clinic. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's individual veterans that are having issues. We were working with a veteran in Southern Oregon with access to mental health care, and the VA, not sure that they didn't think that he was eligible for care, So we had to go down and talk to the VA and say, well, actually he is, because under this particular statute that he can get care here for this one particular mental health issue. So it's there's a lot of different issues within there. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry I can't capture, you know, exactly, but it's really we're talking about, you know, a high level advocacy with the federal VA healthcare system.
And just follow up. Yeah, we are so in our transformation process. We're starting to get into integrated care, wraparound services, including the mental health and everything. And I'm not seeing that happen in the VA yet. That's why I'm so. But we're getting there because we're addressing the issues. But have you ever thought that you would like to maybe think outside of the box in trying to provide care through the systems that are already within the community that a veteran lives? You know, that's what I wish, because when you're in a mental health crisis, you need care now, and you can't wait to make an appointment with the VA. Families need to be able to take their loved ones somewhere on a quick basis. And so if we pass this out, I would hope that you would think outside of the box and not just say ODVA has to do this, but we got to start working at the community level to get these veterans into care in the community that they live.
Correct. Madam Vice Chair, I agree. And one of the issues with veterans seeking more emergent mental health care is that they didn't even know that they could go to, you know, somebody drive them up to the VA hospital in Portland and to the emergency room, and they would provide them that kind of assessment. You know, you're talking about urgent mental health care. And it's one of the biggest issues that we see also is that there's a lack of knowledge within the veteran community of how the VA system works. So we're hoping that a, you know, healthcare integrator, navigator like this can bring some of that to light and also educate our other community partners like ADRCs or suicide hotlines that people call and they say, hey, you know, I'm a veteran, I live in Florence, you know, where can I get care at? And that we would have a very definitive list of what's available in each area. And it's such a complex system is that there's so many different ways that we, as a state level, you know, advocate could assist in those, in all those different areas. I hope I answered your question.
Well, you did, but follow up. When someone is in a mental health crisis, you can't put them in a car and drive 3 hours to Portland. You can't even wait till the next day. You know, you need care as soon as you can to try to de-escalate the situation. So, you know, I still hope that the veterans medical system. Is very limited in where those services can be provided, and so I would hope that it looked more than just having the Veterans Hospital or Veterans Clinics taking care of it if there isn't something within 15 minutes or a half hour drive. But that's me. I've always felt that way. But
well, Madam Vice Chair, the federal VA has, and it's not just health care, but also just basic care in general, there's a very big lack of urgent care services available for veterans. And that's an issue not only in Oregon, but nationwide.
For everybody.
Yeah. That if I got a pretty bad cold and I called the VA clinic, is that they would say, probably in about 3 weeks we can see you. Mm-hmm. And their answer would be, well, you need to drive to the ER up in Portland if you want services. So, but that's fine. We live in an urban area next to a metro area, But that's not good for somebody who lives in Burns, Oregon.
That's right.
And because that their hospital that they would have to deal with is Boise. So it's very it's the system that's made by the federal government, VA healthcare, it is good, but there are lacking areas such as urgent care and especially urgent mental health care.
Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Courtney, your questions.
So what is your title of the Department of Veterans Affairs?
I'm the director of statewide Veterans Services Center.
So I don't understand this. Where did this bill come from? Is it a committee bill or is it an agency bill?
It's an agency bill.
So the director of Veterans Affairs, could Cameron Smith today say, Mitch Sparks, whatever your title is, you are going to be the healthcare navigator? Could he say that?
Yes, he could.
So that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, unless you're saying, well, Peter, we want the money for a new position. That's what you're trying to do, get this to go to Ways and Means and you're creating a new position. Is that what you're trying to do here?
I am not any opinion about positions or anything. This is just, I'm here just to talk about the bill as it stands, Senator. I'm not aware of any positions asked or anything like that.
So I guess my confusion is, I understand the bottom line is, like, you're serving a client. People come to my office, a constituent from another part of the state. Rather than jack them all around, we'll take care of it all, get them an answer. Okay? That's what you're talking about, one-stop type of city. I get it. They need it. But what I don't understand is why you need this bill. I mean, why can't Cameron Smith, the captain of the United States Marine Corps, say such and such, Mitch Sparks, Miss State Forward, you are this. Use your phrase, the health case navigator. Go make it happen. So he can do that, right? There's nothing stopping him now. There's no federal law. There's no state agency. He could do that because you know what is needed. He could do that right now. And to the best of your knowledge, not to trap you, you're not asking for an additional position.
No, sir.
Thank you. Thank you.
Senator Olson, follow up?
No, thank you.
So let me reframe Senator Courtney's question so I can understand. I'm struggling here myself. Any director agency can do whatever they want to. But am I correct or incorrect that the task or in the charter or in the statutory requirements today at ODVA, there is no explicit authority for the State Veterans Administration to advocate and coordinate health care outside of its own agency. Is that correct? I mean, if you can do this right now, why do we need to pass the bill? Or is it there is no explicit authority to do it? And so he could go out and do it, and we could come back and slap him upside the head because he's a Marine Corps captain and say, you didn't have authority to do that because it's not really in the statute.
Chair Boquist, as far as my knowledge goes, there's no restrictions or on creating a position today for that. This is more to the bill itself was more to raise awareness and about the issues that are surrounding veterans and VA healthcare.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Any questions? Appreciate it. Thank you very much. Is there anyone else that wants to testify on SB 81? Oh, somebody does want to testify.
Your service dog.
Senator Boquist, Vice Chair Mona Sanderson. For the record, my name is Laurie Skillman from ODVA. One of the things that I think is helpful to understand about the federal VA system is that there are three big pieces to the system. One is benefits, and that is where the primary focus for our county veteran service officers is to go out and get disability compensation and pension benefits for our veterans. That's mostly what we talk about when we talk about what our work is, what we do with our county veteran service officers. A whole nother huge piece of federal VA, which is totally separate and distinct and could in fact be a separate standalone agency because they don't know what federal VA benefits does as a division, and benefits doesn't know anything about VA health care. The bill is to call attention to the extraordinary challenges that our veterans face navigating through these systems, and sort of to elevate, instead of having, we do not have explicit statutory authority to look at and advocate for veterans on behalf of health care or mental health care. So it elevates the conversation, has us have that as an additional focus, instead of just benefits, benefits, benefits. There's this huge piece of assistance and advocacy we could provide to veterans in terms of health care and mental health care. So it puts the focus into our statute and, just provides a foundation for us to move forward in that. As an advocacy for veterans.
Could you said three tiers, benefits, health care.
And our national cemeteries. Are the three divisions of federal VA.
Got it. Thank you. Appreciate the clarification. Colleagues, with that, we're going to close the public hearing on SB 81. And as I promised, we would be leaving early today, which we will be. If there's any members of the community that would like to submit testimony on SB 81 or SB 79, they can do so through OLIS. And our good counsel to my left, their right, will be happy to enter that. With that, colleagues, we are concluded for the day. Colleagues, we are concluded for the day.